Let's humble our hearts before Almighty Yahweh's throne of grace. Father Yahweh, we come before you on this, your holy Sabbath day, to give glory to you and to praise your name. We thank you, Father, for the opportunity to come before you again. We ask, Father, that your word would have free course in us and that you would teach us and direct us. Lift us up, Father. Truly, we know that your word is for the lifting up of your servants, the building up of your body in these last days, the physical building blocks of the temple, the spiritual temple that each one of us makes up a part of. Help us, Father, to improve ourselves as we draw closer to you, as we know that Yahshua is soon coming and we need to be ready, Father. We ask and thank you for the gracious mercy and love that you've shown each and every one of us. Help us, Father, to accept that unmerited kindness, that grace that you've given us. Help us, Father, to be faithful in all things and to be, Father, most of all, cautious as we seek to serve you and do that which is right. And when we fall, Father, when we sin before you, we know that we have your Son's blood covering, his covering that is going to cleanse our sin. As we accept his shed blood, Father, his shed blood cleanses our sin. So help us, Father. Help us to grow in your grace and knowledge and to receive the implanted words you've prepared for us today. In the name of your Son, Yahshua the Messiah, we pray and ask all these favors and blessings. Hallelujah. I've entitled this message today, Time to Change. Why just accept the minimum when you can excel giving 200% at all times to get the results you want? Too many people just try and skate by in life, not giving 100% at anything. Since Yahshua gave 100% for us, what are we going to give for him? It's time to change. Look in the mirror, brethren, not at each other, but let's start the change within each and every one of us. See, people in this world like to point fingers at each other. We can't do that. That which was so important to us before no longer has a hold over us since we have drawn closer to Yahweh. As you draw closer to Yahweh, the things of this world have less importance and less control over your life. I love basketball, especially college ball, but I've not taken the time to watch much of this March Madness. I think if I even saw, I only think I've seen even a half of a game. You know, and I used to watch game after game, and, you know, I just have not had a desire. And it's not like I miss it either, you know. As we get closer, the spiritual things of this life become much more important. For our opening scripture, turn with me to Joel chapter 2. That's Joel chapter 2, and we'll start in verse 12. Yet even now, says Yahweh, turn to me with all your heart and with fasting, and with weeping, and with mourning, and rend your heart, not your garments, and turn to Yahweh. That term turn is repent. Your Elohim, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and abundant in loving kindness. And he repents concerning the evil. We know what we've been taught in the past about how we live in an age where, and we learn this as kids, you know, you reap what you sow pretty much, but if you do this, this is going to be the results. You know, it's cut and dry, and it's pretty dogmatic. But we have to understand that Yahweh reigns on the just and the unjust. So there are people out there who may not be keeping his commandments, but still receive blessing. See? So what we have to understand is that we have a loving, mighty one. Almighty Yahweh still blesses us, even when we're not good, when we're not doing his will completely. And he will repent of the evil that is in our future. All we have to do is repent, turn to him. And this is what I want to talk about today, a time to change. It's time to change. Repentance is a process. Turn to Jeremiah chapter 10. Jeremiah chapter 10, and we'll start in verse 23. Jeremiah 10:23. It says, O Yahweh, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walks to direct his steps. O Yahweh, correct me, but in measure, not in your anger, lest you bring me to nothing. Pour out your wrath upon the nations that know you not, and upon the families that call not on your name. For they have devoured Jacob, Israel. Yes, they have devoured him and consumed him and have laid waste his dwelling. But Yahweh has allowed that to happen because Israel went in idolatry. See? So Yahweh did allow that. But what we want is we want Yahweh to repent. We want Yahweh to change what he has in store. For even Israel, we want him to call them to repentance. All Israel. Acts chapter 2. And we'll start in verse 22. This is Peter speaking. You men of Israel, hear these words. Yahshua of Nazareth, a man approved of Elohim to you by mighty works and wonders and signs which Elohim did by him in the middle of you, even as you yourselves know. Him being delivered up by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of Elohim, you by the hand of lawless men did impale and kill, whom Yahweh raised up, having loosed the pangs of death, because it was not possible that he should be held of it. For David says concerning him, I beheld Yahweh always before my face. For he is on my right hand, that I should not be moved. Therefore my heart was glad, and my tongue rejoiced. Brethren, think about this. It's very easy to condemn other people. But what we have to do is make these changes ourselves spiritually. We have to not think the way that normal mortals think, you know, because you always are placing yourself better than the other or the next person. What we have to do is place these people above ourselves, in that we want them to understand. We want them to repent. We want them to hear the glad tidings. When Yahshua, okay, who was in the house of Matthew, the tax collector, or had embraced them, the leaders of Judea or Jerusalem, the leaders of the Sanhedrin, looked down on him because he was fraternizing with sinners. And Yahshua told them that he came to call the sinners, a physician. You know, don't go to heal those that are healthy, those that are righteous. He came to the sinners. And that's why, you know, he was so successful in his ministry, because he was able to get to the root cause. He was able to get to the people who needed the change. Now, even though the leaders of Israel, who needed it even more because they were self-righteous, they thought, you know, they were hypocrites. They thought that they were well above all of these other people. It's just that the tax collectors and the other sinners knew they were sinners. See, the difference here is that these Pharisees and Sadducees didn't know they were sinners. They thought they were righteous. And when John the Baptist in Matthew 3, and then we'll go back to Acts 2. I didn't finish there, but and John the Baptist in Matthew 3, John the Baptist says, verse 7, but when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to his baptism, he said to them, "You offspring of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth, therefore, fruit worthy of repentance." And that's what we have to do, brethren. As we're preparing our lives for this Passover memorial this year, we have to bring forth fruit worthy of repentance. Now, back in Acts chapter 2, we didn't finish there. Verse 25, it says, "For David says concerning him, I beheld Yahweh always before my face, for he is on my right hand that I should not be moved. Therefore my heart was glad and my tongue rejoiced. Moreover, my flesh also shall tabernacle in hope. Because you will not leave my soul to the grave, neither will you give your Holy One to see corruption. You made known to me the ways of life. You shall make me full of gladness with your countenance. Brethren, I say to you freely of the patriarch David that he both died and was buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. Being therefore a prophet and knowing that Yahweh has sworn with an oath to him, that the fruit of his loins he should set, one upon his throne. He foreseeing this spoke of the resurrection of the Messiah, that neither was he left to the grave, nor did his flesh see corruption. This Yahshua did Yahweh raise up, which we are all witnesses, being therefore by the right hand of Yahweh exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has poured forth this, which you see and hear. For David descended not into the heavens, but he says himself, Yahweh said to my sovereign, sit you on my right hand till I make your enemies the footstool of your feet. Let all the house of Israel therefore know assuredly that Yahweh has made him both king and Messiah, this Yahshua whom you impaled. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, brethren, what shall we do? It's important that that pricking of the heart, that feeling of sorrow, that's what repentance is. It's when you feel remorse for what you've done in your past. And Peter said unto them in verse 38, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Yahshua the Messiah, to the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For to you is the promise, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, even as many as Yahweh our Elohim shall call to him. And that includes us. Because we're far off from this time, a couple thousand years. And with many other words, he testified and exhorted them, saying, save yourself from this crooked generation. And if that was a crooked generation, what about now, brethren? Think about it. It's time to change. Each one of us has to become a better servant, a better example. Then they that received his word were baptized and were added unto them in that day about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' teaching and partnership in the breaking of bread and the prayer. Now I want to go back over to Matthew. Chapter 3, verse 1, it says, and in those days comes John the Baptist, preaching in the wilderness of Judea, saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he that was spoken of through Isaiah the prophet, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness. And this is on Isaiah 40, chapter 40, verse 3. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, make ready the way of Yahweh, make his path straight. And this is what we have to witness, the Eliyahu message to these people in these last days, that they would know that Yahshua's coming soon. It's time to change, brethren. We don't have a lot of time before Yahshua returns. So we have to make our lives count, each and every one of us, because we don't know how much time we have. Now John himself had his raiment of camel's hair and a leather girdle about his loins, and his food was locusts and wild honey. Then went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region all around the Jordan, and they were baptized of him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. And this is what we have to do, brethren. We have to get out there and get this work done. It's time to change. People have to come to Yahweh and ask for the remission, to be baptized for the remission of sin. It says all Judea and all around the Jordan, and they were baptized of him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to his baptism, he said to them, you offspring of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth, therefore, fruit worthy of repentance. And that's what we have to do, brethren. Bring that fruit forth worthy of repentance. Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16, verse 13. Now when Yahshua came into the parts of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, who do men say that the Son of Man is? And they said, some say John the Baptist, some Eliyah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. He says to them, but who do you say that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living Elohim. Peter got it right. Do we have it right, brethren? But like I said, repentance is a process. It's not something, even though you have to have that contrition, you have to have that heart that needs to change, and you're willing to do it. That's just the beginning. And Yahshua answered and said to him, blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed it to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my assembly, and the gates of the grave shall not prevail against it. And I will give to you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you shall loose on earth shall be loose in heaven. Then charged he the disciples that they should tell no man that he was the Messiah. From that time began Yahshua to show to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things to the elders and the chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and the third day be raised up. And Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, Be it far from you, Master, that this shall never be to you. But he turned and said to Peter, Get you behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me, for you mind not the things of Yahweh, but the things of men. Then said Yahshua to his disciples, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his burden and follow me. For whoever would save his life shall lose it, and whoever shall lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what man shall be profited if he shall gain the whole world and forfeit his life? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his life? For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then shall he render to every man according to his deeds. Truly I say to you, there are some of them that stand here who shall certainly not taste of death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. But Peter, who just said that he was the Messiah, then turned right around and was told, Get behind me, Satan. This is very interesting. And we know Peter became the leader, the bishop of the assembly. Turn to Matthew chapter 26. Repentance is a process, brethren, a process. It's something that is ongoing. It's not something that you just do one time, even though you have to do it to be baptized. You have to be sorry for your sin. Matthew 26, verse 31. Then says Yahshua to them, All you shall be offended in me this night, for it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. That happened with YPTC when my cousin Tyrone died as the leader of this organization. And then they were scattered. It seems like, you know, just about everybody, maybe not immediately, went in a different direction. And the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. But after I am raised up, I will go before you in Galilee. But Peter answered and said to him, If all shall be offended in you, I will never be offended. Yahshua said to him, Indeed, I say to you that this night, before the cock crow, you shall deny me three times. Peter says to him, Even if I must die with you, yet will I not deny you. Likewise also said all the disciples. But what happened? When he was actually arrested, they did scatter. And guess what? Peter denied him the three times, just like Yahshua said. His word is sure. We have to make these changes because repentance is a process, brethren. Think about what you're doing in your life and how it's going and the challenges that you're receiving. These challenges are to make you a better person. Okay? We know that we must keep the commandments. We cannot go back. But if we do, like Peter, we do have an advocate with the Father. We do, if we fall. And it's important that we realize this. Your priorities change the closer you draw to Yahweh. You become less selfish and more caring of your brothers or neighbors' needs. As you change, you look forward to the Sabbaths. And all of Yahweh's feast day, the Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread, is very soon upon us, brethren. Are we ready to meet with Yahweh during another holy convocation? That's the question I place before you today. Turn to Leviticus chapter 19. Leviticus 19, we'll start in verse 1. I use this a lot. And this passage, and the reason I use it is because it's something for us to strive to attain to. It says, And Yahweh spoke to Moses, saying, Speak to all the congregation of the children of Israel, and say to them, you shall be holy, for I, Yahweh, your Elohim, am holy. Every man of you shall fear his mother and his father, and you shall keep my Sabbaths. That word is plural. I am Yahweh, your Elohim. Turn not to idols, nor make to yourself molten Elohim. I am Yahweh, your Elohim. Even though we live in a world full of idols, we know that we cannot have any idols before Almighty Yahweh. Turn to Jeremiah chapter 8. Jeremiah chapter 8, and we'll start in verse 4. Moreover, you shall say to them in this manner, says Yahweh, shall men fall and not rise up again? Shall one turn away and not return? The word there, return, is repentance. Why then has this people of Jerusalem slidden back by perpetual backsliding? They hold fast deceit. They refuse to repent. I listened and heard, but they spoke not aright. No man repented of his wickedness, saying, what have I done? Everyone turns to his course as a horse that rushes headlong into the battle. Also the stork in the heavens knows her appointed times, and the turtle dove and the swallow and the crane observe the time of their coming. But my people know not the law of Yahweh. How do you say we are wise and the law of Yahweh is with us? But behold, the false pen of the scribes has worked falsely. The wise men are put to shame. They are dismayed and taken. Lo, they have rejected the word of Yahweh. And what manner of wisdom is in them? Therefore will I give their wives to others and their fields to them that shall possess them. For every one, from the least even to the greatest, is given to covetousness. From the prophet even to the priest, everyone deals falsely. And they have healed the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. Were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? No. They were not at all ashamed, neither could they blush. Therefore shall they fall among them that fall. In the time of their visitation they shall be cast down, says Yahweh. What about us, brethren? What about us? Are we going to be okay? If you dig a pit for someone else, you're going to fall in it yourself. And too often this happens. Turn to Psalm 7. Start in verse 8. Psalm 7, verse 8. Yahweh ministers judgment to the people. Judge me, O Yahweh, according to my righteousness and to my integrity that is in me. O let the wickedness of the wicked come to an end, but establish the righteous. For the righteous Elohim tries the minds and hearts. My shield is with me, Elohim. My shield is with Elohim, who saves the upright in heart. Elohim is a righteous judge, yes, an El that has indignation every day. If a man turns not, he will sharpen his sword. If you don't repent, you got to look out for the sword of Yahweh. He has bent his bow and made it ready. He has also prepared for him the instruments of death. He makes his arrows fiery shafts. Behold, he travails with iniquity. Yes, he has conceived mischief and brought forth falsehood. He has made a pit and dug it, and has fallen into the ditch which he has made. His mischief shall return upon his own head, and his violence shall come down upon his own pate. I will give thanks to Yahweh according to his righteousness, and I will sing praise to the name of Yahweh Most High. And that's something that we need to do very often, brethren. Turn to the book of James or Jacob, chapter 4. verses 11 and 12. It says, speak not one against another, brethren. He that speaks against a brother or judges his brother speaks against the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge. Only one is the lawgiver and judge, he who is able to save and to destroy. But who are you who judges your neighbor? We know Yahshua has that position, not any one of us. Proverbs chapter 15. Proverbs chapter 15. Time to change, brethren. Time to change. Proverbs 15, verse 10, it says, there is grievous correction for him that forsakes the way. And that's Gehenna fire. That's the correction. And he that hates reproof shall die. Drop down to verse 28. It says, the heart of the righteous studies the answer, but the mouth of the wicked pours out evil things. Yahweh is far from the wicked, but he hears the prayer of the righteous. The light of the eyes rejoices the heart, and good tidings make the bones fat. The ear that listens to reproof of life shall remain among the wise. That's why it says, he that has an ear, let him hear. He that refuses correction despises his own soul, but he that listens to reproof gets understanding. The fear of Yahweh is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor goes humility. We have to be a humble people, brethren. We have to be concerned about our neighbor. We have to love our neighbor, our enemy. See, that's a hard lesson to learn. But see, that's still a part of that process of repentance. Isaiah chapter 30. Verse 8, it says, now go, write it before them on a tablet and inscribe it in a book, that it may be for the time to come forever and ever. For it is a rebellious people, lying children, children that will not hear the law of Yahweh. They say to the seers, see not, and to the prophets, prophesy not to us right things, speak to us smooth things, prophesy deceits, get out of the way, turn aside out of the path, cause the Holy One of Israel to cease from before us, because it's too much. We don't want to keep all of these laws, these commandments, even though we know they're good for us. See, this goes back to the beginning in verse 30, verse 1. Woe to the rebellious children, says Yahweh, that take counsel, but not of me, and make a league, but not of my spirit. See, they're trying to adjust, adapt to a different spirit. But I'm telling you, the law of Yahweh is not difficult. In verse 12, it says, therefore, thus says the Holy One of Israel, because you despise this word and trust in oppression and perverseness and rely on it, therefore this iniquity shall be to you a breach ready to fall, swelling out in a high wall, whose breaking comes suddenly in an instant, and he shall break it as a potter's vessel is broken, breaking it in pieces without sparing, so that there shall not be found among the pieces of it a sherd with which to take fire from the hearth or to dip up water out of the cistern. For thus says the sovereign Yahweh, the Holy One of Israel, in returning repentance and rest shall you be saved. In quietness and in confidence shall be your strength, and you would not. But you said, no, for we will flee upon horses, therefore shall you flee. And we will ride upon the swift, therefore shall they that pursue you be swift. 1,000 shall flee at the threat of one, and at the threat of five shall you flee, till you be left as a beacon on the top of a mountain, and as an ensign on a hill. And therefore will Yahweh wait He may be gracious to you. Therefore will he be exalted, that he may have mercy upon you. For Yahweh is an Elohim of justice. Blessed are all they that wait for him. And that's what we have to do, brethren, when we make these changes. We have to wait on Yahweh. We can't run ahead of Yahweh. And blessed are all they that wait for him. For the people shall dwell in Zion at Jerusalem. You shall weep no more. He will surely be gracious to you at the voice of your cry. When he shall hear, he will answer you. And though Yahweh gives you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, yet shall not your teachers be hidden anymore. But your eyes shall see your teachers, and your ears shall hear a word behind you, saying, this is the way, walk in it, when you turn to the right hand and when you turn to the left. This is what Yahweh wants for his people. Romans chapter 2. Romans chapter 2. Remember, this is about a time to change, brethren. And it is time to change. Because too many people out here don't understand or feel the need to keep the commandments of Almighty Yahweh. This is why we're going to study them over the Feast of Unleavened Bread in our Bible study. It says in verse 1 of Romans chapter 2, for this reason you are without excuse, O man, whoever you are that judge. For in what you judge one another, you condemn yourself. That for you that judge, practice the same things. And we know that the judgment of Yahweh is according to truth against them that practice such things. And that's what happens. Most people, when they point the finger and they're looking at somebody else, it's their sins that they recognize. That's why they're so keen on it. See? But we need to make these changes ourselves first and not worry about other people. Okay? We leave that to Yahweh. In verse 3, it says, and reckon this old man who judges them that practice such things, and does the same, that you shall escape the judgment of Yahweh? Or do you despise the riches of his goodness and forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of Yahweh leads you to repentance? It's the goodness of Yahweh that leads you to repentance. But after your hardness and unrepented heart, you treasure for yourself wrath in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of Yahweh, who will render to every man according to his works. So we should be out there trying to help people who are sinning. For them that by patience and well-doing seek for glory and honor and incorruption eternal life. Because that's the goal, brethren. That's what we want. We want to be a part of that kingdom of Yahweh, soon to come upon this earth. It says, but after your hardness and unrepented heart, you treasure for yourself wrath in the day of wrath, and the revelation of the righteous judgment of Yahweh, who will render to every man according to his works. To them that by patience and well-doing seek for glory and honor and incorruption eternal life. But to them that are factious, those that, you know, are trying to divide, who are whispering here and there, and do not obey the truth but obey unrighteousness, shall be wrath and indignation, tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that works evil, of the Jew first. That term Jew is Yehuda. That was supposed to be a worshiper of Yahweh. And also of the Gentile or Greek. That term Greek is used for Gentile. But glory and honor and peace to every man that works good, to the worshiper of Yahweh first and to the Gentile second. For there is no respect of persons with Elohim, for as many as have sinned without the law shall also perish without the law. And as many have sinned under the law shall be judged by the law. For the hearers of the law are not just before Yahweh, but the doers of the law shall be justified. See, it's very simple, brethren. It's time to change. For the Gentiles in verse 14 that have not the law do by nature the things of the law. These not having the law are a law to themselves, in that they show the works of the law written in their hearts, their conscience bearing witness of this, and their thoughts one with another, accusing or else excusing them, in the day when Elohim shall judge the secrets of men according to my good tidings by Yahshua the Messiah. But if you bear the name of a worshiper of Yahweh, a Jew, and rest upon the law and glory in Yahweh, and know his will and approve the things that are excellent, being instructed out of the law, and are confident that you yourself are a guide to the blind and a light to them that are in darkness, like the Pharisees, they felt they fit that passage. See? We can't be Pharisees, brethren. A corrector of the foolish, a teacher of babes, having in the law the form of knowledge and of truth. You therefore that teach another, do you teach yourself? You that preach that a man should not steal, do you steal? You that say a man should not commit adultery, do you commit adultery? You that hate idols, do you rob temples? You who glory in the law, do you through your transgression of the law dishonor Yahweh? For the name of Yahweh is blasphemed among the Gentiles because of you, even as is written. Just what Nathan said to David. You are the man. You've given the enemies of Yahweh an opportunity to blaspheme because of your sin. But see, these sins that we've committed, as long as they're in the past. If not, repent. It's time to change, brethren, to become a new creature. For circumcision is indeed profitable if you are a doer of the law, but if you're a transgressor of the law, your circumcision has become uncircumcision. And shall not the uncircumcision, which is by nature, if it fulfill the law, judge you who with the letter and circumcision are a transgressor of the law. For he is not a worshiper of Yahweh who is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh. But he is a Jew or a worshiper of Yahweh which is one inwardly. And circumcision is that of the heart in the spirit, not the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of Yahweh, because that's where we want our praise to come from. You know, a man shall be tried by his praise, but we want that praise to come from Yahweh, not from men. Because men will praise you. They'll build you up. Okay? But we need to make that change inwardly, because it's time to change. It's time to repent, brethren, as we prepare for the feast days, which are soon coming upon us. For the Passover, Romans chapter 3, you're going to continue here. It says, verse 1, what advantage then does the worshiper of Yahweh have? Or what is the profit of circumcision? Much every way, first of all, that they were entrusted with the oracles of Yahweh. For what if some were without faith? Shall their want of faith make of no effect the faithfulness of Yahweh? By no means. Yes, let Yahweh be found true, but every man a liar, as it is written, that you might be justified in your words and might prevail when you come into judgment. But if our unrighteousness commends the righteousness of Yahweh, what shall we say? Is Yahweh unrighteous who visits with wrath? I speak after the manner of men. By no means. For then how shall Elohim judge the world? But if the truth of Yahweh through my lie increased to his glory, why am I also still judged as a sinner? And why not, as we are slanderously reported, and as some affirm that we say, let us do evil that good may come, whose condemnation is just? What then, are we better than they are? No, and no wise, for we are all under sin. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understand. There are none that seek Elohim. They have all turned aside. They have become unprofitable. But brethren, if that's the case, all we have to do is repent. If we've all turned aside, all we have to do is repent. Drop down to verse 23, it says, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of Yahweh, and we all have, brethren. We all have. But we all had to repent. We all had to make that change in our life. Being, in verse 24, justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in the Messiah Yahshua, whom Yahweh set to be forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to show his righteousness because of the passing over of the sins formerly committed in the forbearance of Yahweh. For the showing, I say, of his righteousness at this present season, that he might himself be just and the justifier of him that has faith in Yahshua. See, brethren, I don't care what you've done in your past. If you've accepted Yahshua the Messiah, and if Yahshua the Messiah has cleansed you by his blood, then you've been clean. You've been cleansed. We must change, brethren. Turn to Ezekiel chapter 18, and this will be our closing passage. Ezekiel chapter 18. Remember, repentance is a process. It's not something that you're going to do one time. The word of Yahweh came to me again, saying, what do you mean that you use this proverb concerning the land of Israel, saying the fathers have eaten sour grapes, and the children's teeth are set on edge? As I live, says the sovereign Yahweh, you shall not have occasion any more to use this proverb in Israel. Behold, all souls are mine. As the soul of the father, so also the soul of the son is mine. And the soul that sins, it shall die. But if a man is just and does that which is lawful and right, and has not eaten upon the mountains, neither has lifted up his eyes to the idols of the house of Israel, neither has defiled his neighbor's wife, neither has come near to a woman in her impurity, and has not wronged any, but has restored to the debtor his pledge, and has taken nothing by robbery, has even given his bread to the hungry and covered the naked with a garment. He has not given forth upon interest, neither taken any increase, that has withdrawn his hands from iniquity, has executed true justice between man and man, and has walked in my statutes, and has kept my ordinance to deal truly. He is just, he shall surely live, says the sovereign Yahweh. If he procreates a son that is a robber, a shedder of blood, and that does any one of these things, and that does not any of those duties, but even has eaten upon the mountain and defiled his neighbor's wife and has wronged the poor and needy, has taken by robbery and has not restored the pledge, and has lifted up his eyes to the idols and committed abomination, has given forth upon interest, and has taken increase. Shall he then live? He shall not live. He has done all these abominations. He shall surely die. His blood shall be upon him. Now, lo, if he procreates a son that sees all his father's sins, which he has done, and fears and does not such like, but has not eaten upon the mountains, and neither lifted up his eyes to the idols of the house of Israel. He has not defiled his neighbor's wife, neither has wronged any, has not taken anything to pledge, neither has taken by robbery, but has given his bread to the hungry and has covered the naked with a garment, that has withdrawn his hand from off the poor, that has not received interest nor increase, has executed my ordinances, has walked in my statutes, he shall not die for the iniquity of his father. He shall surely live. As for his father, because he cruelly oppressed, robbed his brother, and did that which is not good among his people, behold, he shall die in his iniquity. Yet you say, why does not the son bear the iniquity of the father? When the son has done that which is lawful and right, and has kept all my statutes, and has done them, he shall surely live. The soul that sins, it shall die. The son shall not bear the iniquity of the father, neither shall the father bear the iniquity of the son. The righteous of the righteous shall be upon him, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon him. But if the wicked turns from all his sins that he has committed and keeps all my statutes and does that which is lawful and right, he shall surely live. He shall not die. None of his transgressions that he has committed shall be remembered against him. In his righteousness that he has done, he shall live. Have I any pleasure in the death of the wicked, says the sovereign Yahweh? No. Yahweh doesn't have any pleasure in the death of the wicked. He doesn't want anyone to die. And not rather that he should return or repent from his way and live. But when the righteous turns from his righteousness and commits iniquity and does according to all the abominations that the wicked man does, shall he live? None of his righteous deeds that he has done shall be remembered. In his trespass that he has trespassed, and in his sin that he has sinned, in them shall he die. Yet you say the way of Yahweh is not equal. Hear now, O house of Israel, is not my way equal? Are not your ways unequal? When the righteous man turns away from his righteousness and commits iniquity and dies in it, in his iniquity that he has done shall he die. Again, the wicked man turns away from his wickedness that he has committed. He repents and does that which is lawful and right. He shall save his soul alive because he considers, he's thinking on the commandments. He considers and repents. He turns away from all his transgressions that he has committed. He shall surely live. He shall not die. Yet, says the house of Israel, the way of Yahweh is not equal. It's more than equal, brethren. Yahweh is loving. He's showing that whoever you are, you can live your life as a wicked man and turn from your wicked ways, repent, and receive salvation. But if you are a righteous man and you live your life and you get down to the end and you decide that you want to go in a wicked way, then you forfeited all of the righteous deeds that you've ever done. Verse 30, it says, therefore I will judge you, O house of Israel, everyone according to his ways, says the sovereign Yahweh. Return and turn yourselves from all your transgressions, so iniquity shall not be your ruin. Cast away from you all your transgressions in which you have transgressed, and make you a new heart and a new spirit. And that's what Yahweh wants us to have. Brethren, a new heart, a heart of flesh, not of stone, and a new spirit. For why will you die, O house of Israel? For I have no pleasure in the death of him that dies, says the sovereign Yahweh. Therefore, turn yourselves and live. Brethren, we must change from all our evil ways. Repentance is a process. Turn to Yahweh and be faithful. Repent and draw near to Yahweh every day. Don't forget, as ancient Israel did. Peter fell many times as a servant of Yahweh, but in his death, tradition says he was impaled upside down because he felt he was unworthy to be impaled as Joshua. Remember, repentance is a continual process. Brethren, it is time to change so that we will be in the kingdom of Yahweh soon to come upon this world. May Almighty Yahweh bless each and every one of you as you take the time to change. At this time, I'd like to ask Brother Felix Pinero if he would close with a word of prayer. Let me make sure.
He's not muted. You out there, Felix?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay.
I'll be praying in Spanish, okay?
That's fine.
We will thank Almighty Yahweh for this beautiful Sabbath day and this beautiful message. And we will humble our hearts and pray. Gracias, Padre. Padre Yahweh, por este precioso sermón que nos acaba de dar. Gracias, Padre Yahweh, por mis debes. Gracias, Padre Yahweh, por todos los hermanos y hermanas que me escuchan en esta hora. Gracias, Padre, por estas bendiciones que hemos recibido en esta tarde. In Yahshua's name we pray. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. For our closing song, we're going to sing number 33, Holy Love.
Fill me
Benediction, take your psalms and selected scriptures in hand and turn with me to page 139. We're going to read Romans 8, 35 to 39. That's Romans 8, 35 to 39 on page 139. Who shall separate us from the love of the Messiah? Shall tribulation or anguish or persecution or famine or nakedness, or peril, or sword. Even as it is written, for your sake we are killed all the day long. We were accounted as sheep for the slaughter. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of Yahweh, which is in the Messiah Yahshua, our Sovereign. Hallelujah. May Almighty Yahweh bless you as you continue to serve him on this his Holy Sabbath day. Remember, we're going to get together at 5 Eastern, 4 Central, and 2 Pacific. So we'll have our group meeting.